The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. 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 It's Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here today. And you're supposed to like preach a theme, right? I mean, Father's Day, a theme. Which, Father's Day, that should make sense. We have our Heavenly Father. But I was thinking about this story, and I was trying to get it right. I don't want to embellish too much, when you talk about your kids. Maybe a little. But I was in the living room, and I don't know. I think the girls were just born, so Paul wasn't very big, but he was old enough to use, well, he was big. He was always big. He was always big. But he had gone, he had learned to go to the bathroom by himself. But you have to understand my son, Paul, I mean, he is, he's a mechanic, right? He was a mechanic when he hit the ground. Because when he would go to the bathroom, he would get on his tractor. So he's facing the other way. That's the way he did it. Because that's what a mechanic would do, is we're driving this thing. Well, at this particular time, he got himself hung up and he couldn't get off the tractor. Help! Daddy, help! Right? And so that story had come to my mind. Who do you call when you need help? Right? I mean, he knows over there. You call Dad. I mean, when stuff's gotten real bad and it's escalated, you call Dad. Amen? Right? Well, as Christians, we know when things have escalated and we need help. And, okay, how many people need help? Everyone raise their hand. We all need help, right? We all need help each and every day. Who are we going to call? In Galatians 4:6, we know, and because you are sons, Pastor Derek preached this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Remember, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us when you're saved, right? Yeah. When you're saved. And this is the time that I always say our ABCs. Everybody know the ABCs? Okay, ABCs. I'm going to say it anyway because it's going to go out over the air. People need to hear. When you know your ABCs, A, you admit and acknowledge I needed a Savior. B, you believe Jesus is the Savior. And C, you confess that with your mouth. Yeah. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart He rose from the dead, you will be saved. At that moment, the Spirit of God resides inside of your spirit right now. So you can say this, crying out, Abba, Father. Father, He's your Father. He's your Father. Our spirit is joined with His spirit. And we cry out, Father, Daddy. The last few weeks we've been speaking and preaching about expectations. And we're all believers here, right? Amen. We are. We're faith people. Some of us have our 10-year pins from tent meeting. Hey, we're in the Word. We're confessors. We know Psalm 62, right? Our expectations of Him, from Him, right? We know that, right? And all things that we've ever believed to happen, right? Has always happened the way we thought, right? No. But we have expectations, and we know the Word says our expectations are from God. And yet my reality isn't meeting my expectation. And what have we said? The distance between reality and expectations, that in between, disappointment, right? But we're faith people. So when we feel disappointment, there's only, somebody's messed up here. Either God or me. We're faith people. It ain't God. We know that. It's me. And so right at that moment, what does the enemy do? You didn't faith hard enough. You didn't believe hard enough. You didn't fast long enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read enough Bible. You didn't come to church enough. You haven't been to tent meeting 10 years. You should have been there on the 15th year when Jim and Misty were in our living room and he had to go to work at 3 in the morning and they were at our house at 12:30 and he's got to go to work at 3 in the morning. He did that. And he'd drive over the hill and go pioneering or whatever you did. Right? Yeah, really. But I mean, we've done these things, God. What's the deal? What's the deal? Well, the deal is we need help. We need help. When our theology of faith leads to disappointment, when we really thought our expectations were of the Lord, when reality didn't seem to match our faith, we need help. And God gave us the helper. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. And we know, you know, Holy Spirit's our helper, right? I'm going to read the verse anyway. That way you guys know that you know that you know. In John 15, 26, it says, but when the helper comes, and he came, whom I shall send to you. This is Jesus talking from the Father. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being our heavenly Father. We thank you for our physical fathers. Father, we thank you for our spiritual fathers. But we thank you as Abba Father, Daddy, who saved us, who picked up our pieces and put us together, Father. Father, thank you for leading us this day by your Spirit into wisdom and into all truth that you have for us, Father. We walk in your truth, Father. Your word is truth. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, John 16, 13 does say, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll tell you things to come. This is who's inside of you. And yet, in my experience, I've had disappointment. We know we need help. We as believers know God sent us the helper. We also know God's willing to help. Pastor Jen stole my verse last night. She did too. I had it. And you said it. I'm like, oh, Lord, you got a message. That's Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help. And it says in times of trouble. And in the Hebrew, it's just in time. In times of trouble. Just in time. So we know he's ready to help. We know we need help. We know we have the helper. So how do we start shoring up those times of disappointment, missing those appointments, right? Disappointment is a missed appointment. Isaiah 30, verse 18, I'm going to read it in the Passion. You can read it all. There's context here, but I want you to look at this verse. Do we have that one? It's okay, John. Isaiah 30, verse 18. For this reason, the Lord is still waiting to show his favor to you so he can show you his marvelous love. He waits to be gracious to you. He sits on his throne ready to show mercy to you. For Yahweh is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises. Look what it says. Overwhelmed with bliss are all who will entwine their hearts in him. When we hear heart, we think of our mind, will, and emotions, right? We're thinking of our soul, right? We have choices to make there. And then look what it says, waiting for him to help them. God's always ready. But the question is, are you ready to receive that help? See, being ready, there's two conditions already there. Your heart's entwined with him. Your soul, you're making a conscious choice, right? Regardless of feelings. Because there's lots of feelings. We were talking to Estrella. There's feelings. Feelings aren't bad. Even bad feelings aren't necessarily bad. Okay? Feelings change. That's what we say. That's why, and I think Pastor Jen or Pastor Derek said, the sanctification of our soul is managing feelings all the time. But we can't manage it by our will, because that soul managing soul, that don't work. Even with my best intent. My best intent. Like really trying to really do it right. Pin in place, ready to go, right? Right? I'm still in trouble. It's the Spirit managing the soul. Because he's the manager. He's the creator. Was it Pastor Butch that said we're in the family business? Have y'all heard that before? We say it all the time. It's a family business. And his business is love. That's who he is. Loving God, loving people. That's our, you know, our thing. Because it was Jesus' thing.
That's right.
That's why it's our thing, right? Because we're in the family business. We don't change his business. It's his business. And he manages that. And he gave us his spirit to help manage our mind, will, and emotions through times when we feel disappointment. I'm going to get somewhere. I'm moving fast. I got some ways to go. Okay. So many times as Christians, as we're waiting for the help, we try to do the spiritual things, right? Again, like I said, we faith harder, we fast harder, we pray harder, we know God will help, but because we always introduce time into the equation, we introduce time into the equation. We always do. Because we are living in our flesh, there's a natural component to us. We're always trying to introduce time into faith. And we've been taught faith is always now, so it's outside of time. Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to get on a tangent. Sarah's like, don't do it. Don't do it. You know how it says in 1 Corinthians, these three remain, faith, hope, and love? When it says they remain, that means they're outside of time. Well, who's outside of time? God, right? What does it say in the word? God is faithful. There it is. We serve a God of hope. That's who he is. And who is God? He's love. How many times have I preached? It's not that he has an ability to love. It's not that he chooses to love. It's who he is. That's just who he is, right? So these are outside of time. Faith is outside of time. And yet we introduce time into the equation when we're feeling disappointment in what's not happening. We're faithing. We're believing promises. But as time moves and the circumstances are not what I expected, Satan jumps in, working on your soul, right? And pointing at you as the issue, right? Because we're faith people. It's not God's fault. And then what does that lead to then? Usually condemnation. Really? It's like, oh, I believe for this, God. Your promise says this, God. I believed it. And yet, I'm not seeing that. What do we do? Well, you ask for help. You ask for help, okay? We need help. We need his word to walk out this faith. See, I was sidetracked. See, we know that Psalm 62, verse 5, and it says, my soul, see, we know that expectations are from him, but we got to read the whole thing. It says, my soul, that kind of nails it, right? My soul waits silently for God alone. That means my soul is being receptive. I'm receiving revelation from the Spirit of God inside of me. I have to. I can't answer the question I'm posing, that disappointment question, without going to the Father, to his spirit that's inside of me, okay? And then that's when my expectation is from him. So you have to have that. My soul is tuned into him. That's it. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of a clock that's ticking. And in my mind, God, you got to do something. Come on. Come on, God. And you start pleading with him, start making deals. Let's make a deal with God. Let's make a deal. And I'll do this. I'll fast this long. I mean, and that comes, you know, us doing for God when it's like, no, that's not the way it works. As Christians, we have expectations. We know God's word is true. But as we apply our faith and our understanding of his word, it can lead us into, he told me this word, frustrated acts of faith. Frustrated acts of faith. Coming from a place of faith without understanding the truth of the situation. We're coming from a place of faith. And it's not like God is whacking on the head, man, you got it wrong. No, he's training us to sit on the potty correctly so you can get off. Paul's going to love this message. Anyway, praise God. Praise God. Right? Frustrated acts of faith. So we need help and we need his word to walk out this faith. I'm just starting, just so you know. John 8, 31 and 32, what does it say? It said, Jesus said to those Jews, underlined in your Bible, who believed him. That means there was some faith in action, right? There's faith right there. They believed him. It says, if
If gets decided in your soul. It's a choice. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Okay, so there's a component here. Abiding in his word. Abiding in his word. It means to remain. It means the soul's choice with determination. You're making a choice with determination, okay? And then what does it say in verse 32? Here's the if then. In chemistry, there was always if thens. It was always if thens. I know. I mean, I remember. Well, I don't remember. But all the if thens. Well, here's your if, and now's your then. And you shall know the truth. And then what does it say? And the truth shall make you free. How many times have you heard Pastor Monty say, knowing the truth won't set you free, or the truth won't set you free? Truth will not set you free. There's truth out there, and people are in bondage. Truth's there. It's the truth you know that sets you free. You have to know the truth. How am I going to know the truth? I'm abiding in his word. I am planted in the house. I'm flourishing in the court. I'm taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. Amen. Those are all choices that we're making. I'm abiding. I'm determined in my soul to know what God's telling me. So yes, I'm listening to the Spirit of God inside of me, and I'm in his word, right? And that's tuning into the Father. He's the Word. He's the Spirit. He's the Father. Amen? That's who he is. That's who he is, right? Okay. All right. We need help to keep us from frustrated acts, especially as we deal with various trials and tribulations. Ooh, you hear that word and you know where I'm going. I would say this is one of my favorite verses, but it really isn't my favorite verse, yet it's the one God has been teaching me for 30 years and working through me. That's why I can memorize it. I don't have to look at it. I guarantee I can say it, but we're going to walk it out here, okay? James 1, starting in verse 2, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations, the way I memorized it, right? So first I'm going to just pause for a cause. Count it in the Greek. Count it. It actually means command. Command. It's command joy, which goes beyond. I used to say, you know, choose joy. It's a choice. I started digging into it. It's stronger than choosing. It's stronger. It's commanding joy to a situation. We know the joy of the Lord is our strength, so we're commanding joy in a situation, okay? When you fall into various trials, it's not an if. If you're in the kingdom, it's not an if. It's not an if in the kingdom. Like I said, this is not the good ship lollipop Christianity just floating around on a cruise, right? This is a warship, people. This is a warship. Planes are landing, helicopters, guns are firing. Understand, you're in a battle. There's a little g god of this world who is this the spirit of lawlessness. Does that make sense today? Yes. They're called good evil and evil good. Lawlessness. Ooh, we're in it. So you think you're going to have various trials and tribulations? Yes, you are. But look what it says in verse 3. Knowing. That the testing of your faith, now God didn't test your faith. He gave you faith. You're growing in faith. It's coming by hearing. You're in God's word. You're abiding in his word. But guess what? There's an enemy that's going to come push you on, what do you really believe? Yes. Trying to get you into that place of disappointment where maybe he'll get you to blame God, but if you're walked long enough, he'll get you to blame yourself. Right? That's what he wants to do. So your faith is going to be tested. Stuff's going to come. You've already commanded joy. So you're already managing by the Spirit feelings. Because you have to. I'm not saying you're not going to have feelings. You're going to. Don't beat yourself up for having them. Okay, please. Please don't do that. Go ahead and have them and then command. Take authority and command that joy. Amen? All right. That's just, I'm sidestepping, side question. I side quest a lot. All right. Look what it says. The testing of your faith produces patience. Ooh, patience, time component. Ooh. Nobody likes that word, right? remember what I said, you know, a lot of preachers, you know, and maybe if anybody has, don't, you know, don't pray for patience. Don't pray. Well, I say don't pray for patience too. Don't pray for it. You already have it. You already have it. You have the Holy Spirit of God. That's a fruit of His Spirit inside. Plug into Him and exhibit the fruit. So you already have it, but engage. 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 All right? All right. But that word does mean endurance, but as I looked into it, you know what it means? Even, you know, amplified. This testing of your faith produces, it says, not being swerved from deliberate purpose. Ooh. The testing of your faith doesn't swerve you, right? It produces an ability to not be swerved from a particular purpose, which I'll say is determination. Folks, you're going to have a determination. That is where you can come in. Where you can come in is you're determined to engage with God through the Spirit by the Word. That is up to us. You know, God has given us everything. But because He also gave us free will, we have to exercise that will in the way He tells us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So we're commanding. We're being, determination is being produced in us because of this fiery trial, right? It's being produced. A determination is being produced in us because we're choosing His way, right? And then it says, let that determination, let that patience have its perfect work in you that you may be perfect and lacking nothing. Be mature and lacking nothing. I'm reading it, and the one I memorize is in my head still. Count all joy from various trials and tribulations come for the testing of your faith produces patience. Allow patience to have its perfect work in you that you be mature and lacking nothing. That closes the gap of all that disappointment. It closes it. It shuts it down. You will not miss any appointments anymore as we walk this out. All right. What was the verse we had last week? Isaiah 50, verse 7. In the NLT, it says, because the sovereign Lord helps me. Have we established that? Your Father in heaven helps you. Look what it says. I will not be disgraced. I will not be disappointed. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, like flint, like flint. Determined to do His will. Determined to do His will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. I'll not be disappointed. Right? Amen?
Amen?
See, during that praise night we had, the worship night, right? God gave me that word. He gave me flint. You know? And so I had to look up all the verses that said flint. You know, got my little thing. Do. And I knew He wanted to use this with us. I mean, we were able to use it that night for some people, and God was good that way. You see, we understand that these spiritual attacks are going to come, right? Various trials, tribulations. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can allow that circumstance that God didn't intend to produce something that He's producing, not what Satan wanted, but what He wants, right? And we're determined not to let the circumstance or the time move us off His path of faith, right? Whether I understand or not. See? By walking out these steps that we were talking about, asking the Father for help, abiding in the Word, right? Understanding His Word. When these trials come and you're being tested, what do I really believe, Lord? Right? When you feel disappointment with an outcome. And hey, listen, when I have feelings, and you've heard me, and I'm very honest about this, you know, I tried to always hide my feelings. I really did. The only feeling that ever bust out was mad. So if I'm disappointed, I'm probably mad, right? I've been mad at God. I told Him. Didn't bother Him. Didn't bother Him. Not even a little. He had me come sit with Him, started talking to me, started showing me that, listen, the only way your emotions are going to settle is by me. So come over here with me, sit down. Go ahead and have your emotions, whatever. I'll be waiting until you're done. I'll wait for your soul to wait silently for me. Because I'm willing to help. He says, I'm willing to help. I'm willing to help in this situation. My promises are true. You may not understand the fullness. You may not understand the way that my promises will be played out in full. But I'm going to give you my spirit to help you walk out the path I have for you. That's going to grow you and mature you. He wants us to that place that we are mature and lacking nothing. He's taking us there. You understand that? Do I have time to kind of finish? Okay, I will. Sarah was supposed to preach with me. She's like, you're not going to let me say anything. Actually, she didn't say it that way. I mean, you know, she didn't say it that way. She's like, I mean, she could preach this so well. We have been learning this, guys. We have been learning this. This is not something that, I have 30 years of experience with this. No, man, I'm just getting this right now. Like I said, I can't share what I don't have. As he shares with me, I'm trying to share with you, right? Because I'm trying to walk out this great salvation he has with me, the sanctification of my soul, growing in him so that we can advance his kingdom. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important. Does that make sense? The family business, advancing his kingdom. Okay, let's go to the Apostle Paul. Let's go to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read in the the Passion. I have one amplified at the end. 2 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start in verse 7. We know the story, but I want to read it in the Passion. You guys ready? Okay, verse 7. He says, the extraordinary level of the revelations I've received is no reason for anyone to exalt me. Remember, the Lord took him up into the heavens and showed him things. For this is why a thorn in my flesh was given to me. Now, God didn't give it, but it was given to him, right? It says, the adversary's messenger sent to harass me, keeping me from becoming arrogant. How did God know these things? How did Paul know these things? By God. God was sharing these things. Right? We read it like everything just do, right? No. There was a process that this all went down, okay? Verse 8, and this is why we know. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to relieve me of this. How many people have needed relief? They're feeling a certain way. Yeah, I just need relief, God. And I've pleaded with God. And the answer was, verse 9, my grace is always more than enough for you. Okay? And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. Now, I'm going to keep reading there in a second. He answered, okay. He prayed for this to be removed, relieved. The answer was, I've got grace for you. He didn't say no. You have to understand. He didn't say nope. Ain't doing it. It's keeping you humble. We got to keep you humble, boy. No. The adversary sent it. God was working out something that Satan meant for evil for Paul's good. And through the Spirit, Paul was understanding, God's going to use this, right? He didn't say no. He said, you have favor. That's what he says. You have favor. And my favor is enough for you. Because my favor is enough for all of us in any situation. God's favor is enough for all of us, is it not? Right? Okay. And then it says, God's power finds its full expression through my weakness, even through my areas of disappointment. I prayed one thing, I wasn't getting it. I'm disappointed. But look what it says. So I will celebrate. This is a choice. He was commanding some joy here, just so you know. I will celebrate my weakness, this area he was feeling. And we don't know exactly what it was. People have ideas. I have my own ideas, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I will celebrate my weakness, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. You think there wasn't some determination being raised up and developed in him? You think? Yeah, I think so too. Verse 10, so I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted. For when I feel my weakness, I feel my weakness and I endure mistreatment. When I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and I face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. This is where we are going. And I'm going to read 9 in the Amplified because it amplifies it. Verse 9, he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's a sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. Basically with courage, okay? You're not discouraged, you have courage, right? For my strength and power are made perfect, they're fulfilled and completed and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, because of this, this is what he's saying, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and the power of Christ the Messiah, look what it says, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you want to live there? I want to live right there. I want to live right there. You see, if the Apostle Paul was working through this, learning this, do you think maybe we have to too? Right? In our walk of maturity with him, in understanding that, yeah, things are happening. God didn't intend those bad things, but guess what? You're being trained. You're being sanctified. And God's going to take the bad things Satan meant for evil. He's going to turn them into good. Why? Because you love him and you are called unto his purpose.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.